Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
It's Slate Night, the Film Fan Podcast. Now, here are your hosts, Corey and Mason.
Hello and welcome to Slate Night, the Film Fan Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Mason Schmidt, here with one of my best buds, Corey Knutson.
One of your best buds?
You got demoted. That happens when I wing this. I literally, just before we started recording, I said, I'm going to wing this. And then I said, one of my best buds. Last time when I wung the intro, it took us 18 takes, I think. It's some Fincher-esque number. One of my best buds, apparently, my best friend, Corey Knutson.
Yeah, fuck off.
Okay, we're going to talk about movies, just because that's what we do every fucking week, for the three of you that regularly watch this. It's going to be a weird episode. We're not even drinking this week, so I can't even, like, throw it over to Corey to introduce a drink. We grilled out with my family today, and drank a lot, and threw the fucking pigskin for the first time in, like, 5 years for me. Every time I touch any sort of, like, sports equipment, I realize how unathletic I am and uncoordinated. So, yeah, we're going to talk about fucking movies.
Dude,
Corey, how are you doing?
Dude, I'm tired.
I'm exhausted. Tired.
I'm also a little sick, so sorry if I sound gross or if I have to blow my nose at some point. Just get through it. It's fine.
I'm coming off of a cold, and I think you're just starting, and I'm guessing it's probably, like, seasonal allergies and whatnot, so... I'm fucking dead tired.
Yeah, it was fun though. That your family's just throwing the football around for a bit. Had like three or four Busch Lights from your uncle's old white fridge in the garage, which is incredible.
The best thing a person can own is a beer fridge out in the garage.
Those things will last forever.
Ugly ass white fridge, but I love my uncle so much. IPAs, like I've mentioned on this, is something that I'm gradually trying to get into. But anytime I went over to my uncle's house growing up, it was all he had. It was just IPAs up the fucking ass. And it was stuff I've never heard of. So it was just always like, what the hell is... And like, just the most like gaudy looking cans. I'm like, what? I'm not going to like any of these. But now, as someone who's starting to like IPAs, when I go to my uncle's house, I can just sample. I just smorgasbord anything. Like, I went from a Spotted Cow, which isn't an IPA, but... And then I had a War Pig, and I even had like, the Cherry Lineys.
Oh, yeah.
I was just doing whatever the fuck I wanted today. It was great, but now I'm just tired.
We're exhausted.
Yeah, I started drinking a fruit punch thing that Corey gave me, but I'm worried it's going to stain my teeth red, and you guys don't need to see that. That's going to stay off camera, out of reach, so I can't continue to drink it.
But hey, dude, we got football back, man.
We got football back.
We got a little Notre Dame-Miami on right now. NFL's coming back this week.
Yeah, you can't see that off screen. But aside from our lighting fix-up, whenever Corey edits this and shows him talking, I'm probably just going to be staring darts into
the And it's the same screen. Thing with me, too. That'll be this.
Yeah, that way him and I aren't making eye contact this entire episode.
No.
It's just college ball. So, we're just going to actually play-by-play this. This is my... Good, yeah.
Nice.
I actually can't be a sports broadcaster. I'm too slow. Is he slow from Baby Driver? I'm too slow. I'm way too damn slow.
Kevin Spacey's awesome.
But speaking of football, a lot of stuff going on in Minnesota. The best news we can share with you, at least for Vikings fans, is that Adam Thielen's coming back. We got Minnesota boy. It was Mankato State University he went to? He's returning. I'm so thrilled. Is he going to be a massive uptick in the team's offense? I don't know, but does it make me feel like our team is a little bit more complete having Adam Thielen back on the squad? Oh, hell yes. I missed him so much, and it's just cool having a Minnesota boy back on the Vikings, and I just think we have such a great ensemble team this year that I think we're, like, people are, I always dog on the Vikings, and they're like, oh, middle of the pack, or they're going to lose the division or their conference, and I'm just like, what the fuck is this coming from? Everyone, Micah Parsons signs with the Packers, and now Packers are going to the Super Bowl. I'm like, that was the main issue they had? Okay, sure. Not Jordan Love being inconsistent as fuck. Anyway, yeah, we're going to talk about movies on this show eventually, because we did have a pretty, I mean, we had an interesting week at the movies. We had a couple of big releases. Corey, I'll have you get started with the one that I think we were the most excited about and also was the best turnout in terms of matching our expectations.
Yeah, so Caught Stealing came out this week from Darren Aronofsky, and you got Austin Butler as the lead. He's playing an ex-baseball player who had an injury back in the day, and he gets caught up in this crime struggle where he's a lot of different groups are coming in and trying to get some money, and he just gets thrust into that. Great supporting cast here. Zoe Kravitz has great chemistry with Austin Butler. Matt Smith is a lot of fun with his big fucking mohawk.
Yeah.
And then you have Bad Bunny, Vincent D'Onofrio, Liev Schreiber, Regina King. Just a lot of fun characters that kind of fill out the movie there. I really dug this. I thought it was a lot of fun. It felt like a early Guy Ritchie movie, the kind of crime caper, the Snatch, Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels. But it also did have some dark edge to it that Darren Aronofsky brings, which you don't get right away, but as the movie goes on, it comes in, and you're like, oh, there it is.
Reveals itself overall, like, every once in a while, and it's just... Because otherwise, it plays, like, of Darren Aronofsky's films, it's the most, like, mainstream and, like, accessible, if you haven't seen a lot of his movies, where most of them are really fucking depressing, or about Noah's Ark.
The fuck was that? Your eyes got huge.
Or they're about Noah's Ark, or Black Swan, or The Whale, the other movies that we have. Oh, I'm not recovering from that. But this is easily his most accessible for people that are kind of... Stop fucking laughing at
me. It's just a crazy noise.
Because I was scared. I felt it, and I was like, I can say my little spiel and let it... I can somehow toss it back to you, and then while not focusing on me... That's the thing, when we... Corey edits this. And what sucks is that anytime I talk, which is never good, that means the camera's on me. Which, it makes sense, no duh. But I don't shut the fuck up in this. So, anyway. Caught Stealing.
It's a good movie.
It's a great movie. Like, and you do get, like, those little downbeat, semi-depressing moments just, like, interspliced and woven throughout. And it's just like, oh, yep, there it is. There's our guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's showing his head. The biggest note, and it made me really happy because when you and I talked about this movie for the first time after seeing it, we both said the same thing, that this better represents, handles, and is a better love letter to New York than Spike Lee's Highest to Lowest. Highest to Lowest, Spike Lee sought out New York, and it's just like, Spike, I love you, but you are just wanking your dick on screen with all these aerial shots in New York, and it takes you out of the movie and it doesn't service the story. It's just, oh, here's Rosie Perez and Anthony Ramos at a Puerto Rican parade, and they're just, that's just who they are. Okay, cutting away from that now, it's like, well, that doesn't fucking have anything to do with the movie. Here, New York is a character. It feels lived in. It's New York in this movie is Gotham to the Batman. Like, it fits this world, and as a crime caper, little thriller movie that this is, it's so well shot, so well helmed. Like, Darren Aronofsky is a masterful director, and he knows how to frame stuff, he knows how to make things visually interesting. There's that shot that's in the trailers of Austin Butler going out on the fire escape, and just the sprawling shot of that entire back alley, I'm like, God, that looks so perfect. I was so pleasantly surprised by this movie. Also, how fucking funny it is out of nowhere sometimes.
Yeah.
And bitches just die in this movie, and it's sometimes very unceremoniously, and I appreciated the hell out of it. This is a movie that once it starts, once the conflict is introduced, it's go time, it's pedal to the metal, people are gonna die, people need money. This felt like almost like an early Coen Brothers film to me.
Mm-hmm.
Just not a Coen Brothers film nowadays, because seemingly they can't make a good movie. At least, they're not doing them together. But this was such a fun time at the theaters that I was pleasantly surprised by.
Yeah, there's a lot of fun twists and turns that anytime I thought that the movie might start dragging or get formulaic, it introduced something where I was like, oh, that's interesting, that's getting me invested in what's coming next.
This podcast is supported by The RealReal. You know what I love most about the holidays? Giving gifts. But not just any gifts.
real gifts. Thoughtful gifts. Oh my God, how did you know gifts? That's why I love gift shopping with The RealReal. The RealReal is the most trusted name in authenticated luxury resale. And it's a holiday shopping secret I'm going to let you in on. Whether it's a surprisingly affordable, pristine condition bag for your BFF, a vintage find that's cool enough for the Gen Zer in your life, or even something your impossible to shop for dad will love. Get used to saying, I found it on The RealReal. Seriously, with over 10,000 new arrivals dropping every day from brands like Gucci, Fendi, Prada, Louis Vuitton, Tiffany & Co., and Cartier, there's guaranteed to be something for everyone on your list. Oh, and did I mention everything's up to 90% off retail?
Get $25 off your first purchase at TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com to get your $25 off. TheRealReal.com.
On all the production design, you talked about late 90s New York, 100% agree. It looks so good. The cinematography by Matthew Libatique, I think, is great. And it sucks because, like, August movies don't typically get remembered for award season. But, like, I think a lot of the below-the-line categories for this should be in the Oscar conversation. It probably won't, but... it's a lot of fun. I think my only little flaw is that I don't fully understand why everybody was going after the money. They have one, like, exposition scene in a car when it's Matt Smith and Austin Butler, and there's, like, a loud song playing over it. Matt Smith is speaking in his big fucking British accent, and he's explaining why everybody's doing what they're doing, and I just didn't catch all of it.
Yeah.
But not that that's a big deal. It's like, everyone's just trying to get money. They're crime groups or whatever, so... this was a really fun one. Go support this one. It's a cool little movie for sure.
Yeah, Matt Smith was easily a scene stealer too. I remember seeing like the behind the scenes photos of when they first started shooting this movie, and I saw his character. And I was like, oh my God, what the fuck is this? And he's awesome. His character has, yes, a over the top accent, but it works for his character. And there's just so many funny things that happen because of him and because of how he reacts to situations and different scenarios. And the main thrust of him having to, hey, I have to leave towards the beginning of the movie. Hey, I have to leave. Will you watch my cat? The circumstance as to why he has to leave, and the fact that that is like the actual reason he has to leave when he comes back, obviously, made me so happy. I was like, that's just so funny. Like, he's being truly authentic, and he's an asshole, but like, it makes sense. He was a pleasant surprise for me. Everyone in the cast was great, and I always love seeing Vincent D'Onofrio and Liev Schreiber. They have great chemistry together, so their scenes were very, very fun to watch. Yeah, go support this. It's a great time. I keep, like, while we were with my family earlier today, I was just harping this movie. Like, you gotta go see it. It's a fun time, and I can envision, like, it's a good throwback 90s thriller, and I think a lot of people could get good enjoyment out of it. Moving into a little bit of movie news tied into a movie that I attempted to watch this week. There was news... Something of the biggest news from this week was that there's an animated sequel now being in the works for the new K-pop Demon Hunters, following its kind of record-breaking success on Netflix, but also becoming the first Netflix number one box office film this past weekend with $18 million domestic when they did their kind of release of their sing-along version of the Netflix movie. And it's also the most watched Netflix film in history with 236 million views. That was as of whenever we did these numbers, or whenever we found those numbers, probably earlier this week. K-pop Demon Hunters is officially in sequel talks, and Sony Pictures is in discussions with Netflix to develop the animated follow-up to this kind of hit musical film. With all like the talk about it going around, I feel like I was missing out. Just kind of like, this almost feels and hits that kind of that benchmark of being almost like a water cooler movie to me, just how relevant it feels and the music is everywhere. So I was like, all right, I need to see it. Like, the animation looks interesting. I don't love this like kind of anime styling within it, but I'll try it. I'll give it a chance. It's an hour and a half. I got 45 minutes in. I will not finish it. I'm not going to sit here and rant about it being dog shit. It's just simply not for me. I don't think the story is anything special. The characters, some of them kind of are grating to me. Again, I don't love the whole anime styling. I don't love, like, the youthful, childish, kind of soft anime, like, squinty eyes and, like, rosy cheeks and, like, tears flying off their face. I was like, I don't need this. It doesn't work for me. It just feels kind of childish. Not to say that if you enjoy it, you're a child. I just can't get on board with it. But I will say the music Some of it is that I was exposed to within the movie, and some other stuff that I've heard outside of the movie. It's not bad. There's some songs that I'm like, yeah, they're earworms. They work. They're really good. Come Oscar season, when there's best original song, that category coming around, I wouldn't be surprised if this movie has one or maybe even two nominations. So it's not a major win, obviously, for me, and I don't know if I'm eager for a sequel, but it was, I don't know, the animation at least looks nice, and the music was okay, but I just could not stomach this for another 45 minutes. Corey, are you ever going to watch this movie?
I don't think so. I just, I don't know, K-pop isn't really my thing, like you mentioned. It's just not.
I don't even like pop music. K-pop is a whole different type of, I'm like, that's just not a boat that I'm willing to take a ride on. Like, yeah. I just don't care.
Like, I'm glad people are enjoying it, and glad that Netflix saw that, you know, they can have a movie in theaters that performs well, so hopefully they keep doing that in the future, and
I feel like we say that every time, and then they're like, oh, wait, we put it in theaters and we have money.
It's like, put Knives Out 3 in theaters, please. Like,
only. Just do it only in theaters, and then do a 45 theatrical window, and then Netflix only. Exclusively on Netflix after theatrical.
Yeah, if it gets a lot of Oscar nominations, I may check it out down the road, but as of right now, I don't think I'm going to watch it. This week was not a super fun week for watching through things. Yeah. I do a lot of rewatches for new movies coming out. We had the new Toxic Avenger coming out. And I was like, you know what? I've heard so much about the old Toxic Avenger, the original one especially, of just being this, like, intentionally trashy and kind of cult classic of the trauma.
Yeah.
So, watched the first one that came out in 1984, and it's directed by Michael Hertz and Lloyd Kaufman, and they did the other sequels in this franchise as well. And essentially, this special needs janitor falls into a thing of toxic waste in a barrel and becomes the Toxic Avenger and starts, you know, beating up evildoers in the city. Mm-hmm. I didn't really know what to expect from this movie, but almost instantly I hated this. This put me in such a bad mood. It is so mean-spirited in everything that it does. I'm just, like, killing kids and old ladies and shooting dogs and, like, a lot of weird rapey scenes and a lot of just very, like, just lowbrow jokes that... It was just so constant, where, like, in some movies you can do it here and there and it's fine, but this was every fucking minute that it was doing that shit. And I just, I understand that these movies are meant to be bad, and that's, like, they're very self-aware in that fact, and they're very meta, but I just could not get on this movie's wavelength. I did not care for it, and I also didn't care for the sequels. Just 2 and 3 were filmed back-to-back, and there's so many scenes...
Oh, like the Lord of the Rings movies.
They
really took that approach for Toxic
Avenger. Equal quality for these, too.
From the sounds of it.
Yeah. But there's scenes in the third movie that are just ripped straight out of the second one, and it's like a long section of the movie where it's just the exact same scene of, like, bad guys sitting around and talking at a table. And it was just, like, again, I know that that's, like, intentional, probably, of, like, playing into how trashy and bad these are. I just didn't like it at all. Citizen Toxie, the Toxic Avenger 4. Mason and I got some drinks last night, and I was just going through the plot points of this movie, and especially the first, like, 10-15 minutes of just how batshit insane it is. Again, this movie put me in such a bad mood. I did not like any of these, and they're all, like, an hour and a half to an hour 40 minutes. They felt like 3 fucking hours. It was dog shit watching these movies.
Yeah, so I also hadn't seen the original 84 Toxic Avenger up until this week, and I started watching it in bed one night, and I got, like, maybe 20 minutes in, almost halfway, I don't know, somewhere in there, before I was like, I need to stop this, my wife is in bed with me, and she's trying to go to sleep, and she doesn't have the stomach for this. Not only that, I don't have the stomach for this, because it is very mean-spirited, and that's coming from someone that, like, I like the Terrifier movies, and those, at times, are very mean-spirited. This, it just also, surrounding that mean spirit, it's so grimy and gross, and it just, nothing, it, like, and I get that that is a very distinct goal from the get-go. Like, that is what they're setting out to do, and good job you achieve it, but you also made it something that is so unwatchable to me. I'm not enjoying this. It makes me have... It almost, like, gave me a stomachache, especially, like, some of the killing kids and then, like, running over the kid's head. I'm just like, I don't need this right now. Also, like, there's a lot of bad stuff going on in the news today, and it's like, ah.
Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. you can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
I just took us down this week, and then we get to watch this, and it's like, oh, that's not... This isn't it. I don't really like this. And I'm sure that there is a pocket of the population that really enjoys these movies. Like, I enjoy the Terrifier movies, and I know those aren't for anyone. They're not for everyone. And I assume that's kind of similar with the Toxic Avenger movies. I will say... I will say, what you told me about Citizen Toxie, the Toxic Avenger 4, has me very interested. That one I might just skip and watch, just because that is some of the wildest plot details, character decisions, a lot of mean-spirited shit still packed within it.
But
James Gunn is in it.
Plays a special needs scientist that gets run over by a car. Sure.
Yep, so... With that, I'm interested. Maybe I'll watch that one. I'm not going to watch 2 or 3. I don't know. I also The Last Temptation of Toxie. What a good third part. Wow.
Yeah, it's
good titling.
These are, I can confidently say, these are my 4 least favorite movies of all time. I hated these so much. I could not stand these movies. And like you kind of mentioned, the Terrifier movies. I'm not really a big fan of those. And this. Those are better, I think, than Toxic Avenger movies, for sure. But it still is just kind of that same, like, mean-spirited, like, low-budget, B-rate horror movie that I'm just, like, not really a big fan of. So, you know, getting through that, I was like, wow, okay, so I have to go to the theater and watch another new Toxic Avenger movie. Which,
looked like it had some promise, and it looked like they were more in on the joke of it. And I'm like, all right, we talked about Macon Blair directing this and the cast around it. I'm like, all right, if all these people, Elijah Wood, Kevin Bacon, you got Macon Blair directing, you got Peter Dinklage in it, I'm like, if these people were attracted enough to a project of this type, surely there's got to be something there. It's not just going to be a rehash of the 84 version that is just a mean-spirited kind of B-grade monster flick almost.
Yeah. So, you know, I almost debated just not finishing the original movies. At a certain point, I'm like, do I have to do this?
No.
I'm like, you know what?
I do this to yourself.
I do it to myself, and I was like, you know what? I got this far into it. I gotta just fucking finish this. But the new one, I'll say it's the best of the 5 Toxic Avenger movies. With that being said, I didn't care for this movie, the new one. It's not quite as mean-spirited as the original 4 movies. And there's, like, some fun performances in there. I like Kevin Bacon and Elijah Wood. They were kind of fun villain characters. Peter Dinklage seems to be having fun in the role, too. But, again, it's just, like, I don't know. I'm just not on the same wavelength as the Toxic Avenger and, like, the trauma stuff.
Yeah.
And that's kind of part of the reason I wanted to watch through these movies this week, even though, as I kept watching, I'm like, wow, I fucking hate this. Just to, like, give the trauma movies a chance, because I'd never really seen any of them before. And I can confidently say I just probably will not ever watch any of their other stuff. But yeah, the 2025 version, I know it originally premiered in like 2023 at a film festival, and then they were just waiting forever to get a distributor. So some people had seen this movie fucking 2 years ago. And interesting to have it now. It's not like a dog shit movie like the other 4, in my opinion, but I still really didn't like it. It is towards the bottom of my ranking for the year. Nothing that I would ever want to rewatch. The humor didn't work for me. And just not like a story or characters that I really care about.
Yeah, I kind of agree. The performances are like pretty good. Everyone is committed to the role that they're playing and it works. And I really enjoyed, like, there is some good, like, tender moments between Peter Dinklage and Jacob Tremblay, who is his stepson. And so they have like a good heart at the center of this movie, which is completely absent, I think, from the first movie. And I'm sure from the sounds of it, absent from the 3 sequels to that film. So at least there's... This one, again, like you said, didn't feel as mean-spirited. There's a lot of stuff in this movie that just annoyed me. Just over-the-top shit that I'm like... it was just grating to watch at times. I will say I do love the design of the Toxic Avenger in this, especially in comparison to what, like... Not, like, obviously I'm not going to judge the practical effects of the 84 one and say it's a one-to-one thing, but the design of it, not necessarily the effectiveness of the effects, but just the design of it, I prefer this one. There's some good gore. There was one scene that had a couple of lines that made me laugh. And which has been, like, I've seen, and you brought this up to me earlier, too, of, like, reviewers that we really like and admire saying that they were laughing kind of nonstop in this movie. I'm like, what are you, really? Like, it's kind of low-hanging fruit type of jokes. Like, there's nothing here that's, like, really inventive. Even the jokes that made me laugh were low-hanging fruit, just kind of, like, absurd things that were said. I'm like, I need a piss on my face.
Okay,
sure. Okay. I liked it more than the original. If I was ever going to rewatch a Toxic Avenger movie or watch Citizen Toxie, I think I'd probably just go back to this one and rewatch it. But kind of similar to you, it's not going to be, it's towards the bottom of my list of the 2025 films that I've seen. But it's always fun, and I love, he's a, more of a supporting role, but Elijah Wood in this movie, I love his career path of just being in weird horror films and just taking weird roles. He was in a movie called, I think it was Come Daddy. C-O-M-E.
Whoa.
I need to look it up, because otherwise I have nothing to back up the horrible. If I'm wrong, it's going to be...
You just made that up.
Oh, no. I just skipped the word two. I just said Come Daddy, it's Come to Daddy, which makes way more sense.
I was going to say.
Yeah, Come Daddy sounds wild. Come to Daddy, really good horror film and underseen. From, I think, 2019. So check that out, because I love Elijah Wood. But yeah, there wasn't a whole lot here for me, and I don't know how long it's going to have in theaters, just because I can't envision a lot of people going to see this. That being said, of like the eight people that were in the theater that I was at, from the sounds of it, some of the people were having a good time with it. So there is a fan base for this. It's just, it doesn't connect with me.
Yeah, I feel like, too, the whole, like, a lot of the marketing was the Toxic Avenger unrated. And it's like, oh, okay, cool. Like, at least, like, give me some good gore. I feel like this movie didn't go that far in terms of the gore. Like, it was pretty standard kills. There was, like, a lot of just kind of digital blood and stuff. So it's like, all right, if you're going to, like, do this, at least, like, go for it and give me some fun kills.
Yeah.
Not a franchise that I'm a fan of. This is, you know, probably my, yeah, I mean, I said my least, four least favorite movies of all time. Probably my least favorite franchise of anything. I'm
trying to think. What about, like, the Sony Spider-Man-less Spider-Man movies?
But, like, Venom's fun. The first Venom.
Yeah, that's true. That's, like, the one saving grace.
And, like, even those are, like, get drunk and watch Madame Web, which we've done before.
Madame Web is an enjoyable watch. It's not good, but it's enjoyable. Yeah. You can have a good time watching that. At least I think so. Morbius, no.
If I drank and watched these movies, I'd just get really sad.
Yeah.
Even more sad than I already was watching them, so... Yeah. I don't know. Can't recommend any of these movies. But if that's your thing, if you like the trauma movies, B-rate, kind of low-budget stuff, check out the new Toxic Avenger. I think that people that enjoy the franchise probably will enjoy it. There's some, like, references to the older movies, some cameos in there. So I think,
yeah,
if you're a fan, you may find some enjoyment in there.
Yeah, some of those references are kind of, like, beat you over the head. And some of them, like, there's one good one that I talked to you about of, like, the town takes place in St. Roma and, like, there's a banner that where the S is a little bit scratched out, so it just says Trauma City or whatever. It's just like, oh, hey, that's kind of a good little nod. I'm sure there's a fan base. It's not for me, but I can't imagine someone being a fan of, like, the original ones or the original film and not liking this one. I think that if you know you're going to like this, or you've set yourself up for success with this franchise, you're probably going to really enjoy this. So go support it if you can and if it's in a theater near you. One of those movies that... has a more of a limited release that Corey talked about and watched, and I also kind of already highlighted a little bit earlier talking about Caught Stealing. Highest to Lowest, I finally went and saw it. It feels like a decade ago when I saw that movie. Like, I feel like I saw it so long ago because I've already seen you this week, so we had a little bit of a debriefing on it. I'm a pretty big fan of Spike Lee. I don't think he's, like, one of the master directors of all time, but I think he's a great director. He made Do the Right Thing, which I love. Black Klansman, I think, is one of the best modern, like, historical almost a historical epic, even though it's like a two-hour film. It's just such a good crime thriller, and I think that that film definitely should have won Best Picture over Green Book in, what, 2019 when that happened? But he's not, Spike Lee's not always making my favorite types of movies. Like, The Five Bloods I liked. I was intrigued by Highest to Lowest. Seeing a director that is a really well-acclaimed director handling Akira Kurosawa, cool. He kind of butchers it. Like, it's not that... This movie could have been something entirely different and separate from High and Low, and they could have just not tried to tie it to High and Low. And I think you could get away with it and probably service Highest to Lowest, which, granted, I don't think a lot of people go, like our age or in America are going to see Highest to Lowest being like, oh, I love the Akira Kurosawa movie. Oh, wow, it's one of my favorites. Like, I get that that's not the case for a lot of people, but it really kind of butchers it. And by being linked with that name and with that pedigree, it almost is to the detriment of this movie just because I'm comparing it a lot of the time. And there's nothing in Highest to Lowest that I think improves upon High and Low. The performances all around are okay, but one person that should never work in film, and this might, that's pretty harsh, but I'm feeling it a little bit. Dean Winters. We put him in John Wick in a small supporting role. In this movie, he is one of the three fucking detectives, because we need three detectives to say maybe 18 lines to Denzel Washington.
He's like the, what is it, Allstate? Mayhem guy?
He's the Mayhem guy. And they drop, there's an Allstate joke. Yeah. There's an insurance joke. Yep. There's a, because there, Denzel Washington is in a car with one of his buddies, and his buddy's got a gun called, one's called Mayhem. He's like Allstate joke, boom. And the other one was called Jake from State Farm, or some stupid shit like that. And I'm just, there's weird stuff like this, but I talked about caught stealing, better handling of New York. This movie, it's just New York, New York, New York, Puerto Rican parade that we're not going to tie into anything that's going to service the story. It's just going to, hey, there's Rosie Perez, because I'm Spike Lee, and Rosie Perez was going to do the right thing. She was great in that. Saw ice cubes on her nipples, so she should be in this movie at a Puerto Rican parade. But then we'll never talk about her being here. There's also just, like, clumsy decisions in terms of, like, and I think you might have brought this up last week, or 2 weeks ago, whenever you talked about it, about in High and Low, like, the moment when he decides, I'm throwing this suitcase of basically my entire wealth out the window, I'm making this conscious decision, it's a big moment. And in this movie, it just, like, stumble fucks out of his hand on a train, but somehow, that's exactly what the plan was for these villains, of getting this money from him. Okay, sure. One of my other biggest gripes with this movie is the score doesn't feel like it fits the movie. Not that I thought the score was bad, it just, I feel like with Denzel Washington playing this big pop, hip-hop music mogul of this record label, like, I thought that there could be more energy in the score. The score of this movie feels like it would be better fit for High and Low. Like, it's weird seeing it in this film. I also just, there's like no enjoyment in the mystery of who did this. In High and Low, you're presented with who is the person perpetrating this horrific act of kidnapping this kid and blackmailing this man. You have slight nods to who it is, and then you have all this detective work that then unfolds trying to have this community surround this man and find him. And in this one, you just have Denzel Washington kind of stumble upon the answer to who it is and where they're at. And then when he presents that information to the cops, they're like, hey, we'll do the detective work. I'm Dean Winters. Get the fuck out of here. We're talking to this guy, and you're not helping. Leave. And it's just like, what is this? It's just so lazy and sloppy. Some of the performance choices, too, are a bit odd. Like, Denzel getting that call that his son has been kidnapped. He's just like, Trey's gone.
They got him.
What? Like, that's what... I get what you're going for, but that's how you wanted to play this? Interesting. The one thing that I will say was kind of refreshing in this movie that I think might... I don't know. It's not an improvement on High and Low, but it is the one thing that this movie has that High and Low doesn't necessarily... And that would be Denzel Washington and his son's relationship. His son, Trey, is in high school, I think. He's, like, on a basketball team. He's a little bit older than in High and Low, the son in that film. So you get more of a back and forth between Denzel Washington and his son, and you get more of a development of, like, hey, Dad, if you don't make this decision, imagine the legacy that you're putting me into and what you're setting me up for. And you get a lot of that kind of dynamic. And I found that to be one of the more interesting aspects of this movie. But overall, it was just, it's not like a complete blomp blomp fucking miss. And it's, I wouldn't even say it's good. Like, I'm never going to rewatch this movie, especially when I have High and Low on Criterion. Like, I'm just going to watch High and Low because it's an awesome movie. Highest to Lowest, it's just such a, like, bunt. Like, it's just, we're trying to get on base. We're not hitting for the fences on anything, and we're just going to try and waddle over to first base and be safe. Like, it was just so kind of bland to me. Also, the song Trunk?
Yeah, Trunks by Trunks? ASAP. Back up the trunk.
Fucking to horrible. The back. Get that out. When it played in the movie, and then I saw like the music video, I was like, what are they doing? What is this? So, while I'm willing to acknowledge that K-Pop Demon Hunters has some great songs, I wouldn't be surprised if that gets nominated for Best Original Song later on this year. If this has any momentum in terms of awards talk for really anything, but especially that shitty song, and I like Travis Scott.
ASAP Rocky.
Oh. I don't like ASAP Rocky's music. So actually, fuck it. I don't care.
It's you racist know what I was somehow.
No, what I was thinking of, you know, was it Travis Scott did Plan B for Tenet.
The Plan, yeah.
The Plan.
Yeah.
And there's a song.
Great song.
Great song. Love yeah. that song. There's a part of the track, which is not him, it's the score of the movie, and it's Trucks in Place. And I keep mm-hmm. thinking, Trucks in Place, Trunks. And I'm like, well, Tenet had Travis Scott. This has ASAP Rocky singing Trunks. And I keep messing that up. Anyways, a lot of fucking workaround for that. I didn't like this movie. Didn't like the songs. Never going to rewatch it. It's not horrible, but it's not good. It's towards the bottom of my rankings for 2025. I think I liked it a little bit more than you. But it hasn't gotten better since I've gotten away from it. I think I was like, when I first saw it, I was like, yeah, it's fine. And now I'm just like, ah. It's nothing.
This
like,
movie,
it's nothing to me.
This movie hasn't sat well with me, really. I just haven't thought about it a lot, and kind of, I feel like we have a lot of the same opinions on stuff, just yeah. kind of everything is pretty much worse in this movie compared to the original. I feel like Spike Lee could maybe, like, start getting to a point where he's doing, like, a Wes Anderson thing, where he's making a Spike Lee movie, instead of just making a good movie.
Yeah.
Because that's what this felt like, is like, oh, we have all the... some cameos from people I worked with and showed New York. Like, oh, the Knicks? Like, oh, the Yankees? Like, we...
fuck Boston. Like, okay.
It's just like, come on, just, like, make a good movie. You don't have to, like, shove that down our throats. Yeah. So, I'm happy you saw it, just to see a Spike Lee movie in theaters. It was both our first time
yeah.
seeing one, so that was cool. But, yeah, this one just... I haven't thought about it that much since I saw it.
No. And I won't be revisiting any aspect of it. I also, this past week, so I was trying to catch up on a couple of other movies from 2025, mostly horror films just because it's getting to be that time of the year for me, and for everyone else getting kind of into that fall and watching all the scary movies, and a couple of horror films that I wanted to put on your radar that have been mentioned to me, and that I've started seeing more of, especially when I'm, like, one of my most common Google searches is just like, hey, 2025 best horror films, or just horror best modern horror films. Just because I'm so interested in kind of all.
Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Different types of horror film, and I want a movie to scare me. And two movies that came out from this year that I feel like I've kind of missed out on were a little bit smaller, but The Rule of Jenny Penn and also The Ugly Stepsister. The Rule of Jenny Penn, I'm not going to go super in-depth on either of these movies. I just want to put these movies on your radar because I watched both of them, and I enjoyed them. One more than the other, but I still enjoyed both of these movies overall. The Rule of Jenny Penn is directed by James Ashcroft, who directed a film called Coming Home in the Dark. This is a film starring Jeffrey Rush and John Lithgow. Like, that is... It's those two against each other, and John Lithgow is just having the best time of his life being a villain in a horror film, and it works. The synopsis for it, it's confined to a secluded rest home and trapped within his stroke-ridden body, a former judge played by Jeffrey Rush must stop an elderly psychopath who employs a child's puppet to abuse the home's residents with deadly consequences. It's not super scary. It's more. It plays out more of like a thriller, but it's really effective in what it's setting out to do. And also, it didn't make me sad in the way like Toxic Avenger did, where that is just mean-spirited. This made me reflect on, like, I have a grandma who is up there in age, and she lives in a somewhat of like an assisted living or senior care facility like this, and I was like, damn, I should probably go like check in on her. Like, I should just make sure she's having an okay time and she's okay. But aside from that little sadness that this movie kind of tapped in with me, I enjoyed it. It's a pretty effective thriller. It's a bit too long for what it's setting out to do, but I really did think it was a good time, and I would recommend seeing it if you can find it. I think it's streaming on Shudder. I think I watched it or rented it on like Amazon Prime Video for like $2, so it's worth your time. I'd recommend it to you. But also The Ugly Stepsister, which is a movie that really kind of blew me away, and I was really excited about. Granted, it's not in the English language. Get the fuck over it. Watch it. There's really good gore in this. That was kind of the main selling point from everything I was hearing about in reviews. Is like, oh, we had The Substance not too long ago. This is kind of like The Substance. And it does do some weird things with body horror and some upsetting things. It's a take on the stepsisters and the Cinderella story. But it's told through the stepsisters' point of view. And Cinderella's like coming in at the last moment and swooping off with the guy that she's been dedicating months of her time to trying to make herself look pretty for this man, and then Cinderella walks in and sweeps him off his feet, basically, and she's like, what the fuck? I had a tapeworm in me for 18 months? I got a nose job? Which, at this time period, is a weird coked-out doctor hitting my nose with a chisel and putting a brace on my face? And then I chopped off my toes to see if this fucking slipper would fit me? It's such a demented, interesting, and endearing take on the Cinderella story from a different perspective. And being able to see, I think her name's Elvira, one of the stepsisters, who's just like, everyone is telling her, you're not ugly, but you're not attractive. You're a little doughy, you could be good, you could be good. And she's just like, okay, thanks guys, like you're no help to me. There's some good little bits of like cheeky humor in this, but also just awesome makeup work, some good gore, a really fun, enjoyable film that I really was kind of on my radar, and I was like, I'll get around to it. I'm happy I got around to it, and I'd advise if you haven't seen it or haven't heard of it to seek it out. It's definitely worth your time. It's not in my top 15, but I think as I've been like re-going through kind of my rankings for movies from 2025, I think it is between like 20 to 15. It's somewhere in that realm of the movies that I've seen this year. So I would definitely recommend both of these to you, Corey. I would say The Ugly Stepsister first. I just really got a kick out of that one.
Yeah, that one I wasn't really on my radar too much. I haven't heard too much about it, so definitely curious about that. The Rule of Jenny Penn is one I remember hearing about when it came out in theaters. Just didn't get a chance to see it, but heard that John Lithgow and Jeffrey Rush are great and just having a great time in that movie. So that's one I definitely will probably check out this October kind of Halloween season. Or actually both of these, because I'm very curious about those. Moving into some TV stuff for this week, we had the second episode of Peacemaker Season 2, and again, we'll get into like a couple little specifics, so if you don't want to know some plot points, probably talk about it a little bit. First, wanted to check in with you. How are you feeling about the intro? Is it grown on you? Because I love it. I think it's great.
The new one?
Yeah.
Yeah, I really enjoy it. It's not as good as the first one, but I'm also like, I don't need it to be as good as the intro from the first season. I really like, they could just do this every season. I'm just gonna be happy to get a new one. This song, which I can't even, what's the title of this?
Oh Lord.
It fucking rocks. Oh yeah. I love it. So I like, it works for me. I love the background and what they're doing. It kind of works with like that interdimensional room that's in his dad's bedroom that they kind of use a lot already and have established a lot in the season so far. So I'm like, I like what they're setting out to do, and I like seeing just like John Cena, like stone faced, making quick, sharp movements, like
amazing.
It's just so funny to me. J- John Cena is like one of the most like enjoyable actors. Like I loved him as when I was like a WWE kid and I watched wrestling all the time. I love John Cena. And now I love him as an actor, and I think he's, like, he's a very good actor, not only in just, like, his comedic work, but he's doing a lot in both the first season of Peacemaker and these first two episodes of this season. He's really, like, proving that he can handle being the lead of a show and also the darker moments of this show, which I really appreciate. But, yeah, overall, I do really enjoy this introduction. It, again, it's not as good as the first, but I didn't need it to be.
Yeah, so this episode, not a ton really happened. We had a little rooftop party with the 11th Street Kids, which is fun to just see them pouring beer on Vigilante, just chugging that.
He's just in his tidy whities and just, yeah!
Just there, just to have fun with his buddies. You get some more stuff with Harcourt and Peacemaker and their kind of relationship. And really, like, the main thing is that Peacemaker is starting to go over into that other dimension, and he's texting the Harcourt from that universe about maybe hooking up or doing whatever. So we didn't have a lot of like big momentum in this episode, but still a lot of fun to see. There's some humor in here. We get the introduction of Tim Meadows as Agent Fleury, and I like Tim Meadows a lot. I think he's really funny, but some of the humor here felt like James Gunn being like, oh, I'm funny, and I'm writing quippy dialogue. We talked about that last week with Honey Don't, of like, you kind of recognize when somebody's trying to do, like, back-and-forth stuff. Mm-hmm. And there's the bird blindness thing.
I kind of like it.
When they were talking about it in the, like, van or whatever, I'm like, I don't know if I like this. But when it comes back later in the episode, I think it's actually pretty funny.
Yeah.
So I'm, like, kind of mixed on it. I don't know. What did you feel about the bird blindness?
I kind of, like, was expecting this from Tim Meadows a little bit when he kind of entered into the show. And just, it, like, the humor that he has and his character has, it fits what I know him to do, what I know Tim Meadows to do. The bird blindness thing, I remember the joke, and, like, kind of similar to what Corey was saying, like, the conversation in the van with Economos, it's just, like, it felt a little forced, but I guess it's necessary because it is setting up when he goes into Peacemaker's home, and Eagly's there, and Eagly's just bouncing around on fools, and he's just like, "Is that a? How big is that? How?" He's like, and I do like the joke of like, he's like, "You can show me, like, I don't know any bird." Like, he's like, "That's a fucking bald eagle." He's like, "That you could say it's a pigeon, and I believe you. I don't know."
It's like, that duck's coming at me right now.
Duck's coming at me. It's just like, there's like, it's some stupider humor, which, like, I like stupid humor, but it just, it does feel like it's trying to be too hard to be stupid humor that works and feels kind of like clever, when I'm just like, just play your hits in terms of how you handle comedy. It's worked so far. I don't need kind of, I don't know. This will kind of grow throughout this season, and I feel like it will kind of wear on me or work for me with each episode. I don't mind it yet. Some of the humor with Tim Meadows, I'm just like, I give or take, don't really need it, but I don't hate it either. It's just there.
Yeah. It's still appointment TV every week. Can't wait every Thursday night to see that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we've got 8 episodes, I think, for this season. So, hopefully, kind of in episodes 3 and 4, we get to move the plot along a little bit. See more of this other dimension and kind of see, like, the top trio. I just want to see, like, the other two in action. Like, see David Denman actually, like, doing shit. I think would be really fun. So, I'm excited. Still good every week, but just some little cracks, and I'm like, if this continues throughout the season, it's going to drop it down a little bit, but right now, still a lot of fun.
Yeah, and I you mentioned him, like, moving into that other parallel world, basically a parallel universe and or dimension, and then texting Harcourt, and you could see him text Harcourt in his world, saying, hey, not delivered, blocked him. Goes over into the other world, it sends through, hey, broken heart. Like, and it's just like, that's such an interesting way to present the difference of these worlds, and also, like, how, all right, your phone here, this is what you're collecting, this is what you're picking up on, this is who you're contacting, but once you go through this door, this is who you got. I just was like, that's so effective and efficient with how they set that up, and it really worked for me. Another show that is kind of is still appointment television. We're a little bit further into this first season of Alien Earth, which I am still really digging. Corey, I know you haven't really had a chance to sit down and watch this. You horrible fucking watch through this week.
Yeah, I know last week I said I would catch up on it. It was a busy week. There's a lot of stuff going on at work.
Yeah.
It was the state fair this week, so that's always busy. But I do plan on actually watching. I'll get caught up for the 5 episodes next week and actually give my thoughts. But episode 4, how are we looking there?
No cracks in the show. It's seamless. It's still so in line with those first two Alien films, specifically Alien. It aesthetically fits so well, but still, they're branching out in terms of what they're willing to incorporate and introduce sci-fi-wise. And there's other species of aliens. There's not a whole lot to share. There's not, like, massive developments week to week. This is very much like a slow burn, and I really appreciate that. I like the characters. I like where they're, like, they're starting to show their hand a little bit in terms of where they're leading to. So, just for the sake of you not having seen it, I'm going to leave you kind of in the dark a little bit, let you kind of catch up, and then we can kind of unpack a little bit more of it when you are kind of up to speed with it. But yeah, I like it a lot. Peacemaker is the show I look forward to a little bit more during the week, just because it's fun, we're in it. Alien Earth, it's doing interesting stuff within the Alien franchise that I really appreciate, and it is more of a slow burn, and you have to pay attention a little bit more than necessarily like a Peacemaker type show, but I love it. I'm having a good time. The acting is great, the characters are great, and they have a good dynamic going with these synths that are children at heart and in mind, but they're in bodies that are synthetic and older adult bodies, and they're trying to learn new things, and I'm really digging kind of what they're handling with this show so far, and I'm really interested to see where they go with this, because I'm like, when do the wheels start falling off? When does everything hit the fan? Because it's an Alien project. Shit's gonna hit the fan soon. But I'm a big fan, and I know you're likely gonna like it too once you start watching through some of it. Moving into the new releases theatrically for this week of September 5th, the biggest one would probably be Conjuring the Last Rites. This would be the fourth Conjuring of the Ed and Lorraine Warren specific Conjuring chapters, I would say. This one is directed by Michael Chaves, who directed The Nun 2, which was a massive surprise to me, the quality of that film. I didn't see The Nun, and everyone was like, stay away from it.
You don't need to watch it.
It's bad. I'm like, I know what happens in that movie. I was like, okay, maybe I'll just skip it. I know enough to go into The Nun 2 and pick up, hopefully, where that movie leaves off. Love The Nun 2. I think there's a lot of good effective scares in that movie. And he also directed the previous Conjuring film, The Devil Made Me Do It. And I appreciated that film. None of these have been to the heights of the Conjuring franchise, The Devil Made Me Do It and The Nun 2, but they're still good efforts and good attempts within this franchise. The Conjuring 2 is still my favorite. This one brings back Vera Farmiga, Patrick Wilson, Ben Hardy, and John Brotherton. Paranormal investigators Ed and Lorraine Warren take on one last terrifying case involving mysterious entities they must confront. The synopsis
pretty much all the other ones.
Just about all the other ones. Yeah. And the trailers have been kind of... they've been effective, but also formulaic. They're setting up things that I'm like, all right, yeah, this is what I know a Conjuring film to be. So I will see it. I'm excited. I've liked this franchise a good deal, and my wife likes these movies too, so I'm sure I'll be seeing this one pretty soon this week.
Yeah, very interesting franchise. Just all the way back in, 2012?
When the first movie came out.
Like, couldn't have anticipated that we'd have, three spin-off franchises within this, too, with Annabelle and The Nun and Curse of La Llorona, which is, kind of a part of it. Yeah, it is, officially. But
Michael Che has also directed that film, too. So he's established in this franchise and in this world, and I think he's only been getting better with the directorial efforts that he's done. So I'm on board.
Yeah, there's a few good visuals in the trailer, which I feel like every Conjuring movie, 3 and 4, at least, just seeing a couple things here and there that are nice little scares, but it's not going to be, we've talked about, a super scary movie, I don't feel like. No. But I am still excited. This probably will be the last movie in the Conjuring universe, possibly. I don't know, it feels like they're kind of
marketing it that way.
I don't know how much gas it really has left after all those kind of subsections within the franchise as well, but still excited. It's fun to see Vera Farmiga and Patrick Wilson as Ed and Lorraine Warren. Even if it's not scary, I'm always interested to go on a journey with them and see just cool little...
yeah, they have a great dynamic.
Little artifacts in their room of just demonic shit everywhere.
I will never buy into someone owning all of that shit, which, I get it of, if it's here, it's not elsewhere. Makes sense, it's locked away. Under lock and key, you have eyes on it. Fuck that, dude. And it happens in every movie, so if they do it in this movie, I'll be a little bit pissed, but there's always someone just walking in that fucking
room. Oh, yeah. They're like, don't go in that room.
Okay.
The babysitter's like, let me check this out, actually. Annabelle's just staring like, come on. Yeah, let's get in here. Yeah, but I don't know. I'm excited to see another Conjuring movie in theaters for sure. Movie that is coming into more wide release this weekend is Splitsville. We mentioned it a couple weeks back when it was in limited release. Essentially, like, two couples that are kind of, in the down in the dumps, I guess you could say. Down in the dumps. That wasn't a good phrase to use. I don't know, whatever. I don't even know if this is a good episode or not, but fuck it, whatever. We're 40 minutes into this thing, so.
Yeah, we're not redoing this.
No, we're committed.
Do you guys like the set?
We got new posters.
We got posters. This is a good time to interrupt the introduction of Splitsville.
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Great movie.
Yeah, we got Jaws over there. We got
fucking great movie.
Got a blockbuster. Matt, I don't know if you can see it that much, but we got some new stuff. Yeah. We're moving around some things, trying to figure out how to make it look a little more lively in here. Yeah. So.
A little bit better lit, hopefully. I don't know.
We're trying. I don't know. Fuck it. We're two 25-year-old dudes just trying to make this work. Yeah, we're just trying our best. But actually, Splitsville, I've actually heard very good things about, to get back to that. I heard it's like a pretty funny movie, like one of the funniest of the year. And Michelangelo Covino directs the movie, stars in it. Got Dakota Johnson, Adriana Arjona, and Kyle Marvin as well. So I don't know that I'll see it in theaters, but I am curious about it. I've just heard a lot of reviewers that I kind of follow have been like, oh, this is a pretty slept-on movie from this year.
Yeah, I'm somewhat excited, and I keep seeing like the trailers, this is the best comedy of the year, and a lot of reviews have been also saying that. So I'm like, oh, maybe I will need to check this out, because I feel like this year we haven't had like a whole lot of great comedies, except for maybe The Naked Gun, where that is just a comedy through and through. Obviously, this one's going to handle a little bit more of relationship dynamics, and we'll have some sort of drama intertwined with it, but it'd be nice to have something a little bit more lighthearted as well. Another film coming to theaters, smaller film, but it is called The Threesome, directed by Chad Hartigan, director of Little Fish. This film is starring Zoe Deutsch, Jonah Howard King, and Ruby Cruz. A young man's perennial crush leads him into an unexpected threesome. He thinks it's his ultimate fantasy come true. When the fantasy ends, however, all three are left with sobering real-world consequences to take responsibility for their actions. I've seen the trailer for this. I am interested. I think Zoe Deutsch is a great actress. It's crazy seeing her career path, because I'm pretty sure she was on The Suite Life on Deck on Disney Channel, and it's just like, wow, you're actually like really good. I watched recently Buffaloed, and I believe we talked about it. I might have even forgotten that I like
watched you watch?
Buffaloed.
Oh.
Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
I definitely didn't bring it up, because I think I told my wife, I was like, I forgot, and she really liked that movie. I liked it too. But Zoe Deutsch, great actress. I really like her kind of career path that she's been taking. And the trailer plays well. It's interesting. It's an interesting kind of dilemma that they find themselves in by having a threesome. And now it's like, oh, all right, how do we deal with this now? What's going on?
Felt like Juno vibes from the trailer a little bit, just with like the pregnancy and dealing with that. So another one that looks kind of fun. Don't know if I'll seek it out in theaters. The last kind of bigger release from this week. It's a movie called Twinless, which is directed by James Sweeney. Main star here is Dylan O'Brien, and it's about two grieving men who bond in a support group and form an unlikely friendship. This is another one that I've heard a lot of good things about from people that have seen it at festivals. Aside from that synopsis, I don't think that I've seen a trailer for this, so really just that little one log line there to go off of. But I like Dylan O'Brien a lot. I think he's an interesting actor, and I hope he gets more meaty roles in the future, because I think... Yeah, obviously he had, like, the Maze Runner movies, and then he's kind of, you know, like, Love and Monsters a few years back.
I was going to say, he's got Love and Monsters, right? And I really like that movie.
Yeah, so he's, I think, a good actor for sure. So, this feels like one that could be at, like, the Indie Spirit Awards or something.
Yeah.
Not like an Oscar contender, maybe, but kind of popping up in some of those little awards categories.
Yeah, I remember putting together the show notes, and I was just like, I don't know some of these movies that we're putting on this list, or I hadn't heard much about it, and I was like, Twinless, is that one that we bring up or talk about? Like, how big of a release it was? And then I left it off, and then you'd put it on and talk about it. I was like, oh, well, maybe I should be interested, and I should be looking into this one a little bit more. So if it... Honestly, it is a little bit of a slow week aside really from Conjuring, so maybe I'll go check that out. I mean, I had enough free time to watch two Toxic Avenger movies this week. You had enough free time to watch fucking five of them, so I'll probably see a couple of movies this week, hopefully. Moving into a bit of a physical media roundup, I recently just bought the film The Warriors, which I have. It is the Arrow Video release. It is the special edition Blu-ray. A film that I've always heard of, seen like the very influential, can you dig it, in Warriors, like with the bottles, come out to play it. Like, I've seen all that shit. I'm interested enough, and I feel like I see a lot of movies compared to The Warriors. I'm like, I should check it out, and I believe it's directed by Walter Hill. I'm really excited to watch it, just haven't seen it, so I wanted to add it to my collection and also give it a watch, hopefully sometime this upcoming week.
I've also not seen it, but I know a lot of those big lines too, so definitely been on my watch list for a long time. Maybe when I get to my W of my alphabet thing, I'll make that.
Where are you at? Do you remember?
I think I'm on Q, and I just haven't...
What the fuck do you watch on Q? Do you have thoughts
on it? I was thinking The Quick and the Dead, which, like, I know you're not a huge fan of, but it's like a Sam Raimi movie, so like another big director to check off. Or Queen and Slim, I haven't seen.
Yeah, I would check that out.
I'm like, there's not too many other choices.
Yeah.
If I hadn't seen Quigley Down Under, I would watch that, because that's a great Western. Have you seen that?
Tom Selleck movie?
Oh, yeah. Tom Selleck and Sam Elliott? It's great. Okay. I watched that as a kid. My dad's like, you need to watch Quigley Down Under. I'm like, okay.
It's such a wild title, too.
Yeah, just, like, perfect dad movie, for sure. But coming out this week on September 2nd, not too much for big releases, just some older titles getting re-released.
Whoa.
Well, news.
The Two Jakes on 4K?
The sequel to Chinatown?
To Chinatown that no one talks about?
Never seen it.
I also have not seen it.
Yeah, but I'd be curious. I mean, Jack Nicholson's back. It's got some other good cast members in there, so.
Is this Lost in Space 4K that's coming out? Is this the one with Matt LeBlanc, like the 2000s? Was it early 2000s, maybe late 90s?
Possibly. I don't know. I'm not 100% sure on that. Yeah, I'm not sure on that one. And then Undisputed coming out on 4K. So, pretty quiet release week, but The Two Jakes has been one I've always been interested in. It feels like a French Connection, too. That sort of deal of like a classic movie and then a sequel, and everyone's like, eh, I don't know if it's as good. Did you find the Lost in Space?
Potentially, dude. I don't fucking know.
Dude, hell yeah. Well, I'll just move into the next shit. We had a few release dates that got shifted around or announced this week for some upcoming movies. Mortal Kombat 2, which was supposed to come out, I think this October, got delayed to next May, so May 15th of 2026. And then Disney had like a conference, I think it was like Destination D23 or something, and they announced a couple movies. If you were just avidly waiting for Ice Age 6, we got a title reveal, Ice Age Boiling Point, that's coming out on February 5th, 2027. I think I've seen the first three of these things, three or four. Yeah,
the first one.
The first one's
like
great. I don't know. I haven't seen like four or five.
Was Continental Drift was one of them.
Collision Course. They go to space or something.
Was that just Scrat?
I fucking love Scrat.
I love Scrat too. He's awesome. But like, was it just Scrat in that movie, or do they all go to space?
I think they all go, but he should have his own movie. Like no dialogue, kind of like a Minions type movie where there's no real dialogue. It's just him on his quest.
Just trying to get Charlie Chaplin with Scrat.
Yeah.
Trying
to get his nut every time, and then he just causes a glacier to fucking wreck everybody's plans for the movie.
Him panicking is one of my favorite, like, built, like, sounds. Just the,
yeah, his like teeth are stuck in the ice. Yeah, if I could get a tattoo of any animated character, probably
Scrat
and Rango.
I think I'd do a... I think I'd do Mike Wazowski.
Oh, that'd be a good one.
I was going to say where I would get Mike Wazowski, just based on the shape of him. You can imply and understand the joke that I had in mind. But Mike Wazowski, I think you're Mike Wazowski. And
you're
I
Sully?
Think I'm Sully.
I can see that. Yeah.
But that mostly branches back to like photos of us in middle school where you were just a little bit shorter and I was tall and I was also a thick kid. And it's just like, I feel like this fits. Also, there's a thing that you would do in middle school... off the rails again. Another thing that you did in middle school is you, my favorite bit, I think of yours, one of my favorite bits. You would hike, because you'd always wear athletic shorts, you'd hike them up so fucking high, just making underpants out of these fuckers. and then a big baggy tee, and you pull the shirt down to your knees, and you'd be like, my pants! Where are my pants? Which doesn't sound that funny, but when you're doing it right in front of, like, Mrs. Burtness, our history teacher at the time, who is a fox, but where's my pants? My pants! And then she's just like, Corey, you can't... Corey, stop.
The great thing was is that going into her classroom, she had a long hallway that, like, her desk was, like, right as you came out of the hallway, so, like, you were kind of hidden for a second, so I could, like,
you waddle. You like, a big reveal.
Yeah, I, like, waddled myself down. I was like, ah, my pants are missing! She's like, really, the third day in a row we're doing this again? I'm like,
trying to
impress the huzzes in here, so... they get a laugh every once in a while. Legendary class, by the way.
Awesome
fourth hour history with Burtness.
What it had three of my groomsmen in it. It had me, well, I'm not a groomsman, but it had me, you, Aiden, and Ethan was in it.
Yeah, that's crazy.
It was a baller fucking class. Zeus was in that too.
Was he?
It had four of my groomsmen in it. Because then me and him, this is a stupid thing I did in middle school, which again, too long the amount of time we're spending on this. But in middle school, I was all about like, and in high school, I dressed like Andy Bernard from The Office in high school a little bit. Like, I'd wear, like, a button-up with, like, a sports coat tucked into jeans. Like, I'd look like a sub. But in middle school, I remember I was going to wear a suit to school for no fucking reason. I just want to wear a suit so badly. And I convinced Zeus to wear a suit, and he's like, yeah, fuck it, I'll do it. Looked way better than me. Completely showed me up and blown me out of the fucking water. And I was like, this was a mistake. And then you get everyone coming up to obviously it was a mistake. Everyone coming up to you and being like, why are you wearing a suit? And you're like, I just thought it'd be fun. No one remembers that or cares about that. And then it's just blipping a fucking radar. You just, all right, back to normal clothes the next day. But yeah, anyway, long...
We also had a kid that we called Squirts in that class.
Yeah, because he said Hershey Squirts like during like class discussion.
On like World War II or something.
World War II. And everyone just called him Squirts. And that dude had teeth going everywhere. So it... It doesn't 100% correlate, but it just makes sense for a guy like that to be called Squirts.
Hope he's doing well.
Yeah!
Haven't seen him since, you know, graduation probably. Yeah, I hope
that's so. That's going to be a search after this.
Yeah, we'll take a look. We won't name him besides Squirts. If you know, you know.
Squirts knows. Squirts knows who Squirts is.
He probably doesn't even remember that. He's just like, oh, I...
I feel like he made that a big part of his personality for a while.
Yeah.
God, that was a great class. Then we had Herman.
Oh, sixth hour English? Yeah.
Sixth hour English.
We did a presentation about a clock that talked to us. Yeah. We were pretty ahead of our time with that. Like, now every clock does that. Like, modern clocks.
It was the whole concept is it would wake you up, it'd berate you a little bit if you were slow to get up, and it'd also give you updates on, like, temperature, your plans for the day. I was just like, wow. Which was just a good excuse to get Corey to lay on a table in front of the class and me to squat down behind the table with a clock and just ad-lib just insults to you.
And then the audio didn't work because we had something playing and we're just like, I'm laying in front of the class waiting for the audio to start and I just die laughing, obviously. So I have to like turn over and just, I'm shaking on the table laughing as you're trying to get everything figured out.
Yeah, it was the fucking, it just kept like, the aux was fucked up, so it just keep disconnecting, so it just get, like, every other word. And I don't even remember the outcome of that, but I think it was just Herman being like, ah, oh, boys.
I think we got an A. Yeah. That was pretty good.
Probably. She loved us.
Yeah, it was great.
We did our reading.
Yeah, right.
That makes it look like we did, like, drugs. We did our reading.
Yeah.
Got some RC points. We read The Outsiders. We got our RC points. Oh, yeah. We dressed up as a greaser or a soch.
Right, yeah. And read Brian's song, or whatever the book is called.
And we watched the fucking movie.
Yeah.
Awesome movie about Gale Sayers.
Yeah, good movie.
Yeah,
I like it. Anyways, that's a little you know, dive into seventh grade us.
Yeah, you'll figure out more about the fucking who we are and why. I don't know why you listen to us.
I think I peaked in seventh grade. I'm not even gonna lie. Like, has anything been better since that? Or
I don't want to say I peaked in high school, but I think I peaked in high school because I definitely didn't peak in college. College was a slow, sad road for me.
I don't think I've had as good of a joke as that shirt one since 7th grade, so I'm just kind of trying to chase that.
No, you have a couple of good ones. Ones that we can't say here.
Well,
yeah. We have a whole list of when we lived together called the 303 quotes. I wonder... I don't have my phone on me. It's the one. It's what we're using to record. It's over there. But we have some quotes on there that... I don't know. I'm trying to remember if any of them... Like, there's some that aren't like... They're all bad, but, like, some of them, like, we can't say these. There are some that are like, I can taste you a little bit, bud, and it was you saying that after I farted. And I was just like, that's a good one that's going on the list.
I can only think of the bad ones right now, and I can't say
them.
The
bad ones are fucking bad.
They're great. Maybe someday we'll do a live stream and read them we can ever figure that out.
No.
We'll see. If there's demand for it.
Like the two that are probably okay to say.
Yeah. It just won't be monetized, that video. It'll be taken real quick.
Yeah.
What were we talking about? Oh, the movies. The
Ice Age?
Did we
end on Ice Age?
I think so. How did we get to Ice Age? I don't
remember. Middle school. You said Scrat Tattoo, and I said Mike Wazowski for you.
Oh, yeah. Shelly. Okay. Yeah, so Ice Age Boiling Point coming out February 5th, 2027. And then Incredibles 3 coming out 10 years after Incredibles 2. It's coming out in 2028.
Which was 13 years after the original
Incredibles. What is it? Craig Thompson or Craig T. Thompson?
Craig T. Nelson.
That's what it is. Craig T. Nelson. He was already sounding really old in the second one.
And math is math! Why did they change math? Jack Nom Nom Cook. That shit cracked me up.
That's good. The raccoon fights with Jack in the back is great. I mean, I love The Incredibles, and I like the second one enough. I don't need a third one, especially 10 years after. What are we doing? I don't know.
Maybe more of The Underminer. I don't know.
Maybe.
I do know I like the second one more than you do. The first one is my favorite Pixar movie.
Yeah.
I'm excited, but I'd be more excited if it was like, oh, hey, it's going to be coming out, next year. We got to wait 3 more fucking years for a movie that I'm already, kind of excited about. I'll see it because I like these movies already, and it's one of my favorite Pixar franchises, but it's just, it's an update that doesn't feel like an update. You might as well just say it's coming out eventually. Okay. 2028 is not a real year to me yet, so we'll deal with it when we get there. We did get some exciting news in terms of Star Wars film projects, mostly just Star Wars Starfighter. We might have talked about it last week, they did a little promo photo of black and white still of Ryan Gosling, and I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. But we also, to the cast, got Amy Adams added, as well as Aaron Pierre to the to the cast, which I already just fucking said. you can tell I'm fucking powering down. But yeah, we got the photo with Ryan Gosling and Flynn Grey. So I just read that out of order and then tried to jump in to reread it and then just presented it in the proper order. But I'm excited. Amy Adams in Star Wars, sick.
It's cool.
I don't have a lot of exposure to Aaron Pierre. He was in, Rebel Ridge?
Yeah.
The movie that came out this year. I still haven't seen that. I'm excited to see him in Lanterns. I've heard nothing but good things from Rebel Ridge. That's probably a movie I should probably try and check out and check off my list for 2025. But I'm sold on this. Amy Adams can be in everything. She's one of the best actresses alive. I love her to death. And it's going to be really, this is just such a cool cast to get for a Star Wars film. I feel like these are big names that we're not really used to getting. I feel like you want to get new characters introduced into this world. Sometimes you cast lesser known actors. And I agree with that. I like that. But we're getting Amy Adams. We're getting one of the best. We're getting Ryan Gosling, who's coming hot off of Fall Guy, which did dick at the box office, but also amazing in Barbie. So I'm really sold on this. I'm excited.
Yeah, I'm pumped too. Cool cast. I like the picture too. I like the black and white look of it. It's just kind of sweet. So it's every week we kind of have an update about this movie. So I'm excited for that. Last bit of movie news, something that I'm really excited for as a big basketball fan myself. We're getting a Kobe Bryant Draft Day movie that sounds like it's sort of a mix between Draft Day, the football movie, Moneyball, Social Network, and Air, kind of a conglomerate of those. Just going behind the scenes of Draft Night in 1996, where Kobe was supposedly going to be taken by the Nets, who were in New Jersey at the time, and then he actually got drafted by the Hornets, and then got traded to the Lakers. And two franchises really could add Kobe, and they fucked that up. Which is just wild. Won 5 titles. Love Kobe. One of my favorite players of all time. So I'm really pumped for this. I love sports movies. I love Draft Day. That's always a movie I'll sometimes watch around the NFL draft, right before. Even just football season right now would be a good time to watch it.
September is a great time for Draft
getting
Day.
To that. So yeah, I'm down for this. I think it'll be really cool. It's coming from Warner Brothers. It's going to be written by Alex Sohn and Gavin Johansson. So curious about this one for sure. See who's going to direct it, too, because right now nobody's attached to it.
Yeah, director is going to be a big thing. If they did, Bennett Miller, which, he did Moneyball, so
that's sweet.
Kind of a one-to-one thing, and I feel like I haven't seen a movie from him in a while, and I'm like, where the fuck are you? You make some of the best movies right now. But director is going to be a big thing. I'm excited for this movie, but also, who's playing Kobe? And how do you play someone so prolific like Kobe Bryant? That's crazy.
I wonder if they would do, an Air thing. Where they have, don't really show, and it's more of just, the draft room and like actually not like just showing highlights of Kobe or something, but not actually having somebody play him. Or if they did, it's just like
very minor
shot from behind of him like walking up to the draft stage. It'd be interesting to see which route they take.
I think I'd prefer that, honestly. I'm like, I think it's a can of worms, and it's like, it's a hard thing to try and put on an actor to do. How do you make someone be Kobe Bryant? You can't. Kobe's the best. Like, he's awesome. And you just can't replicate that. And I think, I didn't even consider that, but that is probably what I would see as being the best approach to this, is of following what Air did and kind of, yeah, it's about Michael Jordan, but he's kind of not really in that movie a whole lot, and I really appreciated that. So, yeah, I'm really excited for that movie. Director and kind of how they handle Kobe Bryant within that movie would be really interesting. So I'm stoked whenever we get more developments from that. Anyways, long-winded episode, a lot of rambling, a lot of bullshit, a lot of updates also with the set. Yeah. Thanks for sticking around and sitting with us. We didn't have any drinks, so hopefully you did on our behalf. Be sure to follow, subscribe, listen to us, give us just some of your time. Maybe just like put us on in the background and go outside and don't even like listen to us. I don't know. We appreciate any time you dedicate to listening to us ramble on about movies. Be sure to follow us on Instagram or TikTok for more in-depth movie reviews and movie news. In the world of film, it's not just about what happens on screen, but also about who's sitting next to you in the theater.
For Mason and I, it's Late Night. That's a wrap.